Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Random. Alberto is your host. Thank you so kindly for being a part of the show. We're going to have a great show for you today, as usual. Welcome aboard, my dear peeps. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. I see the room is kind of not filled up yet, except for Michael Rudman, AVQ. But anyhow, welcome, folks. Get into the room. Make yourself known. Give us that thumbs up. Let everybody know that you are here, so that we can all get started. So what is the show going to be about today? We're going to have a good show. Let me get a few things done on my other network here, and then we'll be ready to get started, ready to get busy, ready to get all things going. So let's make sure that we got all queued up. Looking for items according to this guy. Again, let's make sure she queues up. Hey, I just felt my voice sounding like Bill Clinton, you know, that kind of a raspy kind of a thing in the voice. Well, we don't know. Anyhow, let me go ahead and log into my other system here, folks. Bear with me as we get everything here going the way it should. Anyhow, we're going to have a great show for you today. We are going to have a great show for you. We're going to talk about the media once again. And the reason why is something happened today. Something happened today that you guys have got to see, because we got to see it in real time. You know, people talk about what the media does and doesn't do and all of that, and people start to get scared about, are they doing their job? The truth of the matter, you're going to see something that is rarely seen done in real time, and we're going to catch it. We caught it in real time. Anyhow, let's see who we got here. All right, from Michael Rudnick, we have indefensible outrage over man in wheelchair fatally shot in the back by Arizona cop. Richard Lee Richards was shot 9 times in the back and side by a Tucson officer. Up to half of all fatal U.S. force incidents involve people with disabilities. As Richard Lee, 61, slowly heads back toward the store entrance in his motorized wheelchair, Ryan Remington and other officers Stephanie Taylor order him to stop. Richards refuses, and Remington fires 8 shots from his gun at the man's back. Remington briefly pauses as Richards slumps forward in his chair. The officer then fires a 9th shot. Remington then roughly handcuffs Richards, who is lying unresponsive on the ground in the store's entrance. For all of those who have a tendency to try to have that soft spot about what a lot of these police officers are doing or what they do, let that put yourself on notice for that particular description there. Put yourself on notice for that, because I tell you what, that is more so often, or that occurs more often than you would think. All right, second item here from El Señor says, a slow motion climate disaster, the spread of barren land, Brazil's northeast, long a victim of droughts, is now effectively turning into a desert. The cause? Climate change and the landowners who are most affected. This phenomenon called desertification is happening across the planet. Climate change is one culprit. Local residents faced with harsh economic realities have also made a short-term decision to get by, like clearing trees for livestock and extracting clay for the region's industry. They have carried long-term consequences. If wealthy nations such as ours don't properly fund conservation efforts while pushing for renewables, infrastructural civilization will for sure crumble within 20 years. Welcome aboard, Eric Hayes, as well as Peggy Lopez, ¿cómo estás? Let's see, what else? And Peggy became one of the newest members of our consecutive PDR posse. Peggy, I have not yet been able to send out all our thank yous. I've been really catching the midnight oil trying to get all these blogs written. I have a few thank yous that I have to send out personally. And since I answer each one personally, please bear with me somewhat. Thank you so kindly. Again, everybody should follow Peggy Lopez Leeds, and let's keep this stuff going. Today you're going to see one of the reasons why I talk about doing what we do. Okay, Michael Rundell says, Audio CEO says, Audi CEO says, extracting fossil fuels from Earth has to stop. The company wants 20 all-electric vehicles in its lineup by 2025. Climate change is caused by the fossil fuels we are extracting from the ground, Audi CEO Marcus Duesmann said. That has to stop. We need a fossil-free society. This might just be a public relations press release, but they've got the right idea. Yeah, it's public relations, but it's the right thing that he's saying. I like it. Michael also says, unconscionable. Missouri accused of buying analyses showing mass mandate saves lives. The findings were only made... Wait, I read that wrong. Unconscionable. Missouri accused of burying analysis. I said buying. Burying analysis showing mass mandate save lives. The findings were only made available this week due to a public records request by a local independent news outlet and the Documenting COVID-19 Project. Confirmation of common sense that covering your mouth when you cough and covering your nose when you sneeze would prevent contagious spread, and that's exactly what masks do. And you know, we should really find out exactly who was responsible for that. Progressive lawmakers like Biden cancel student loan debt, all of it now. Student loan payments resume in 61 days. Borrowers are not ready or able to restart them, said Democratic Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal. Sadly, saddling the next generation with crushing debt, our society acts like vampire squid upon our young. Our president could wipe this debt clean if he so choose or chose, and such would markedly improve our society. No doubt. All right, what we got? Eric Hayes says, hey all, why is it the Cuomos or Nomos? Is that supposed to be funny? Peggy Lopez says, hi all. Daniel Ledo says, conservation efforts is Marxist code for wealth redistribution. Really? My thank you is seeing you here every weekday, also being able to visit with everyone sending these great messages. Peggy Lopez, you just made my day, my beautiful lady. You just made my day. Eric Hayes says, Egberto, if you plant more trees, wouldn't that be a possible solution to climate change? But if they are clearing lands to build solar and wind farms, isn't that counterproductive? Also, what about all the resources extracted from EV, CARB, and such that is counterproductive too? I like math, Sir Eric. A tree, calculate the amount of carbon one tree has. Just that you can look at the cellulose carbon in this tree and figure out how many trees you need to get a gallon of gas. However, you can also figure out how many, you know, the area that a solar farm would take and how much gas it removes out of the atmosphere. And you can also calculate how much it costs to drill for, or the energy required to make those cells. And it will be a net positive for renewable energies. Those calculations have already been made if you want to see them. So go get, so see them. Eric Hayes says, oh yes, Egberto, we need to send less emails and texts, that is carbon footprint, too bad for the environment. No, text and emails, the carbon footprint is not large at all. Paper is. Tom C, Eric Hayes, yes, we should plant more trees, but millions of tree plantings would take decades to reduce greenhouse gases and put more oxygen in the atmosphere. Human emission reduction still needed. True. Math. How about California and the deforestation they could do to have less trees burn? You're right. How can I argue with that? Burning trees, throwing all that carbon that was stored in those trees right back into the air. So you're right about that, Eric Hayes. And that is, in fact, math. So, sir, you're right. Now let's help them not have forest fires, or let's help them do what's necessary to prevent that. Daniel Ledo, Michael Rudnan to Daniel Ledo. Conservation efforts used to be a conservative ideal, but you have to go back to Teddy Roosevelt's time for that. How sad is that conservation don't want to keep our environment viable for our children's generation? So many dog whistles. They see such efforts as a socialist or Marxist or redistribution rather than necessary, which is something that Daniel Ledo just said, right? Conservation efforts is Marxist code for wealth redistribution. Wow. Daniel Ledo, look up lithium mining. I have. It rapes. Look at how you're going to say that. It rapes mother and scars the land. Look up lithium disposal, poison to mother. That you have to realize that who that was written by. You have to realize who that was written by. Just saying. Anyhow, let's see. Let's go ahead and get started. I thought I had some of my videos queued up, but I don't. The biggest problem is that I have a video by El Señor Biden that I want to show first. And the problem is, I think I may have accidentally deleted that particular video, which means I am going to have to play it from YouTube. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe we can still recover the video. Let's see if we can get it from the trash, get it back from the trash. Because I think I want to show you this Biden videos. Recycle is what I think I want to call it. Recycle bin. Because today Biden came out and he made a very important statement. Let's see if I can find it. Let's see, date deleted. Maybe I will be able to get to Biden. And if I can, I will get to Biden. I'm looking for it as we speak. What's today's date? The third? If today's date is the third, Stephanie, watch Joe Biden. There is it. So it looks like I can restore it. All right. What I'm going to do, folks, is I actually got it restored. Hey, good technology is great, isn't it? Let's go ahead and play Joe Biden, because Joe Biden did something today that I thought needed to be done for some time. Check this out, and then we'll take it on el otro lado.
At this time of the year, another concern is facing American families is about being able to find what you need in the holidays, whether it's gifts or groceries. As I said earlier in the week, because of my actions, the actions that my administration has taken, in partnership with with private business and labor, retailers and grocery stores, freight movers and railroads, the shelves of our stores are going to be well stocked. We've sped up operations at our ports. For example, at the Port of Los Angeles and Long Beach, the two busiest ports in America, over the last month, the number of containers left sitting on the docks for over 8 days is down by 40%. I've said that before, and people have come to me and said, well, what does that mean? And so they're down 40%. Well, it means that the product are no longer sitting on the docks. They're getting off the docks, into trains, into trucks, into vehicles to get them to the store shelves. This is an incredible success story. On Monday, I convened a group of CEOs from some of the largest retailers and grocery stores, as well as leading companies that works with small businesses across the country. And they reported that their investments are up, shelves are well stocked, and they're ready to meet consumer demand for the holidays. Now, I said that yesterday, and then I saw a couple of your stations put on, you found some empty shelves. They're old empty shelves, but it doesn't matter. But go back and take a look at some of those shelves again, okay? But the point is that the vast majority of the shelves are filled, and the CEOs of not only the suppliers, but the CEOs of UPS and FedEx, which are on track to deliver more packages than ever, are saying the same thing. So we're heading into holiday season in strong shape. Again, this is about a concerted, focused action. We averted this potential crisis by figuring out what needed to be fixed, and then we brought together the people who had the capacity to fix it.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it. Why did I want to play that? Why do I want to play that? You remember when the supply chain problem, a few weeks ago, it wasn't so long ago. Oh my. Of the world. The supply chain is all messed up. When are we going to start seeing? We started to hear all these stories about the supply chain and what's going on and all these particular issues, right? And suddenly, Now that the shelves are stocked and everything is there, the mainstream media, this media that is supposed to be mainstream, that is supposed to be liberal, nobody wants to talk about it now. Why don't they want to talk about the gas prices are falling, the store shelves are filling up? We said all along that this was a transitory inflation type event, but nobody wanted to hear it. So what did he say? Hey, go back and check those shelves and see if those shelves are really empty now. Let's do our job, media. Let's do our job. And that is the issue. The media can set a tone. The media can actually tell America things that are not real, or not in a manner that you know, at all. That's just not telling the truth. You know, and for those who may say, oh, well, it's Biden who is saying that, and it's not real because it is Biden. And of course, he's going to say nice things about his administration. You know, I mean, they do that. But if you want to understand whether it is true or not, then you get an objective reporter, right? Somebody who is not necessarily on the dole for Biden, maybe. Somebody who really cares about reporting true information. And at that, maybe somebody who likes business. Let's check out one of those. Something telling happened today. You know, the president went on and he spoke about the great employment numbers. I mean, the economists wanted more, but we know that over the last several months, the employment numbers have been coming in sort of very low, and then they've been sky high a few months after the adjustments are made. But anyhow, he came and he spoke also about the supply chain. There are 40% less containers on the docks. Where he was able to help facilitate putting these private sector companies together so that things would work more efficiently, the administration came together and did that. In other words, the government came to bail out the private sector once again. But it's interesting because with all the bailout that the government has been doing for the private sector and getting products to market, etc., the media is still showing empty shelves in their news reports, right? It's like if they did the news reports long time ago and they refused to show America what's really going on because it doesn't fit the narrative. Well, today, in a previous video that I did with the president, he went ahead and he called them out. He said, you know, I just spoke to all these CEOs and all of them are telling me the shelves are full. And I then see a report a few days after, or when I'm done, that the shelves are empty. Maybe you guys need to go back and do your job. And to Stephanie Ruhl from MSNBC, she came out and she told the truth. She called her own people out. I want you to take a look at this, and then we'll take it summarily on the other side.
Here's the thing. The president is certainly underplaying this jobs report. But what's really important to remember, for the last few months, Michael noted it, the jobs report numbers keep getting revised up over the last few months because the way we're getting this information is obviously getting more difficult during COVID. But look at the household survey. You mentioned it at the top. We're seeing unemployment tick down, and we've got the highest number of Americans back on the job since pre-pandemic. To say that the jobs picture isn't good in America right now is absolutely false. But I credit the president in terms of messaging. He really took a swipe at the media, and he had a right to, talking about supply chain issues. We still have supply chain delays. Remember, the U.S. government cannot control all of the supply chain. It's global. But things are improving. In the last week alone, we heard from the Target CEO saying their inventory is up 18%. Walmart inventory is up 11.5%. I spoke to the Mattel CEO, said shelves are full and we're ready for the holidays. And the president said he told this to the American people, and then he turned on the news, and what is he seeing? Empty shelves. That's really not the picture. Things are more expensive. It's difficult, but this whole argument that Santa isn't going to be here for Christmas isn't true. And to the gas prices point, he also has a point. Reporters were lined up at gas station after gas station, waving their hands about gas prices, and you're hard-pressed to find many reporters talking about gas prices dropping, but they are.
Amazing. The price of gas has started falling. Are they out there saying, oh, finally, some of the work that the administration along with the private sector is doing is causing the price of... No, they have a vested interest in folks thinking we are in some sort of dire straits, that this particular president can't get the job done. Maybe they should have remembered to do that with Donald Trump, so that we would not have had an election that was so close that some Congress people won that shouldn't have won. Again, the media can set a narrative. If the media sets a bad, a false, a misleading narrative, Americans make the wrong choices. And that is the reason why we need independent media, not tied to the corporate structure. Because the corporations have a vested interest in a president that would otherwise be popular based on the policies he supports. They don't want that because they want those policies attenuated, because they know what those policies mean. Less humongous, very evil type profits that they can no longer get if they have to pay their fair share, if they can no longer be the parasites to the average American citizen that many of them are. Exactly. Folks, please go ahead and sign up. Tomorrow is, I forgot, tomorrow is the first Saturday in December. I forgot, which means we have to have our Ask Egberto Anything on YouTube, or rather on Zoom. Here is the link. Please sign up and come talk to me. I think I only have a few sign-ups so far. I put it in a newsletter, and you know, I guess people are used to seeing the link and they just let it go by. So I'm putting it here again. Please go ahead and sign up for our Zoom talk. Ask Egberto Anything. You can either come with video or not. I'll let everybody in. Go to that link that I have in the stream there for Ask Egberto Anything. And guess what it means? It means you can ask me anything. I just looked at my calendar like, oh God, I got to do Ask Egberto Anything. So again, please, let's do it. Come on to the show. Many of you haven't. You come to the show every day. It's tomorrow at noon Central, or rather, tomorrow at noon Eastern. It's 11 Central. So please check us out. We really would love to have that talk with you. We love doing this. Okay, so why don't you come on out and click on that link and join us? I'd love to get a lot of you to come on out. Anyhow, before I get to the other videos, let me see what you guys are saying, because it's important to hear what you're saying. Oh, you sent a lot of messages. Eric Hayes says, how about the spin Dr. Fauci? Anything on him since he is science? I don't think Fauci is a spin doctor. This guy goes all the way back to AIDS, sir. It is disingenuous for what you guys do with him. I think so, but I'm not going to. Look, I can't help you, Eric, on the misinfo. Good luck. Eric Hayes, Michael Rudden to Eric Hayes, they are helping themselves by burning down the Amazon for temporary cattle grazing land, and that's causing widespread destruction for short-term gain. Don't expect locals to sell property on their own. It's a choice of either helping them up or watching it all burn. And you know, there's a lot to that answer that you just gave, Rudnin, because here's the problem. A lot of these poor people on these poor lands in the rainforest, whether the rainforest beginning all the way from, let's say, Central America all into South America, right? Into Puerto Rico and all these other places. These folks have to survive, and yes, a lot of times they cut down their wood, they burn, they create land for grazing, etc. And a lot of times, or even our conservationists here in America, they are pissed. Don't let them do that. And I try to remind folks of one thing, right? America was once a forested land as well. America was filled with forests and not just grazing, but I'm talking forests and trees and white wood and white pine and soft woods, hard woods, all of that throughout this country. Absorbing carbon as well. And you know what? We cut them down to build America. We cut them down to burn for fuel. We did all these things ourselves. So a lot of that carbon in the air was from us using the resources on our own land to do all those things. Many people in South America, Africa, Latin America, and these other places, they didn't burn their fuel. They didn't live that industrial life that America got rich on. And they're saying, you know, we want to also reap the rewards of the resources on our land. And we don't want them to, because we need them. We need them as the heat sink. We need them as the oxygen producers. We need them as the carbon dioxide absorbers. To which they have to ask the question, you built your wealth on doing these things. If you want us to save you by not burning our wood, I mean, it's all or nothing, right? If we burn our wood, we go down. But in a for a temporary time, we survive better. If you want us to work as a collective, and I surely believe in the collective, you have to give us a reason to be compliant. You built your wealth on burning. You built your wealth on extracting, not only from yourselves, but from throughout the world. Should we reap some benefits of what you built by taking? And that is what a lot of the poor countries have got to say now. We need to be also compensated for not removing our fossil fuels, for not burning our forests, for not destroying our forests the way you did yours, for not burning all the oil as you did to throw it up in the air. Because this climate change, the elements in the air, the carbon dioxide in the air, the majority of it, we didn't put it there. The Industrial Revolution did. And who ran the Industrial Revolution? You did. So the equitable thing to do would be for all of us to get together and equitably do our part for climate change, of which the Western countries that placed the vast majority of carbon into the air should pay a bigger part of the pie to clean it up, to get us where we need to get. I mean, it's the only fair thing to do. So Michael Rudden, I think there's a lot in your message in what I'm saying as well. Eric Hayes says he sounds terrible at talking about Biden, but Joel thinks are still expensive. Yeah, they're expensive, and they're expensive because people don't have price and power. The private sector has price and power, and they decided that they wanted to milk the American people, and that's what parasites do, and that's what they do. Daniel Lado says, there's a nascent movement to put Fucci behind bars. He better hope Republicans don't gain control of Congress. If they do, it's ass pound prison for lying Fauci. By the way, I think that's a joke. Everybody knows that, well, you know, that's comical. That is comical. Conservatives have such hatred of Fauci that I can't seem to understand. A public servant who dedicated his life to upholding public health, they still pissed that Trump downplayed the pandemic. Well, the problem is that Fauci tried to play the middle ground, but did the right thing, tried to do as best he could under Trump. And some of the best under Trump meant people realizing what Trump did. You know, and we're learning even more of what Trump did right now. Trump is a mass killer, as we know. Going around sick, he almost killed the darn president of the United States, Joe Biden, by going to the debate infected. So we know that. And they're just mad that we're showing who he really is. I think she will probably never see accountability for her crimes in a sane... I don't know what you're talking about there. All right. Attorney General Joe Biden, ends unscientific Title 42 order expelling immigrants seeking asylum. Okay, I can agree with that. All right, coming down, and I continue to read your stuff. Many indigenous from E2247 says, many indigenous and Haitian families have been expelled to persecution and other dangers, including many variants of severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2, and COVID-19. All right, Michael Rudden says, you want blame? You want hangings for mass deaths? Fine. Just remember who's really to blame for how bad a mess we're in right now. Damning analysis of Trump's pandemic response suggested 40% of U.S. COVID-19 deaths could have been avoided. And I would wager it's more than 40%, sir. But I have no scientific data to back that statement. So I'll just say that's my hypothesis. Okay, the duck that quacks says Hayes don't like anything resembling the truth. And sometimes I wonder, Hayes is a good guy, but the right wing has a very good hold on many of our brothers and sisters. We just have to work with them. Egberto lives in an extreme echo chamber. He doesn't consume any news without approved talking points. Not true. If you actually see, it is funny because the people at the Democratic underground would say otherwise. In fact, the Democratic underground too often removes my blogs because they say I am anti-democratic party. It's amazing. Because I am straight down, because I simply tell the truth. If a Democrat is doing wrong, I'm going to talk about it. If a Republican is doing wrong, I'm going to talk about it. And I'm going to inform my people. I'm going to tell it like it is. By the way, support the Democratic Underground. I love them. But they take down my blog sometimes. And they say, well, at this site, you cannot speak against Democrats. I try to put it up there anyway because I want real information out there, period. And they'll take it down, and that's fine. But so it's funny that you would say that, Daniel Ledo. That's why I brought that up. There are certain places that take down my posts for being anti-democratic. Amazing. I'm anti-big democratic, meaning the Democratic Party. All right, Eric Hayes says, go back in and adjust them upwards to what a force plus only 62% participant rates and the supply side employment sucks. Maybe due to mandates. Wow. I think you better go read the stats again, my brother. But what can I say? The duck that quacks has some numbers here. People drive big 21 miles per gallon SUVs and 4x4 pickup trucks that cost $65,000, then complain gasoline or diesel is $5 a gallon. I find it amazing too, sir. The duck that quacks says, no pity for the pathetic. Eric Hayes says, or rather, Michael Runnin says, Eric Hayes, when mandates are enforced, less than 2% of workers quit specifically because of those mandates. The organizations are better off without those employees who willfully would act as contagious vectors. And not only that, there's a certain trait within the character of a person that will simply quit the job because they have to be safe. And ultimately, that is a person you don't want to be an employee anyway. So for all practical purposes, that 2% is probably a good riddance 2%. Let them work for somebody who can work in an infected environment and they can worry about infecting each other and not necessarily promote it towards us as best we can. The duck that quacks says $65,000 will buy you 13,000 gallons of gas, of fuel, at $5 per gallon. Amazing statistic, but true. Tom C., plan on chatting with Egberto on Zoom tomorrow. Great opportunity for personal interaction and sharing insights. Yes, please come to us tomorrow at our Zoom. I'll put a link in there again a little bit later. Michael Runnin, E2247, thank you for the link to New York Ties. Ready Temp, I wouldn't put my Woody in the fire. Ready Temp, what does that mean? Daniel Ledo says, if this is really about saving the planet, then if Brazil and will not protect the forests, then we should go and take the country over and do the right thing for humanity. Wow. I don't know about that, Daniel Ledo, but you know, that is the same mentality that the United States has about oil, right? They said that if a country denies them oil, they have the right to go invade it because it's a national security issue for them. So they can take another country's resources because they say it's a national security issue for them. That's U.S. policy. I find it amazing, but it would be fun if others had shared that same policy as well. All right, let's see. Ready Temp, I won't. Straight up gas for electric vehicle exchange. I don't know what that is. ABQ says, U.S. says ivory-billed woodpecker, 22 other species extinct. I can believe it. Fauci makes more than the president. Yes, he does, and he should. Let's see what else we have. Eric Hayes says, there are more COVID deaths in 2021. Correct? Absolutely so. We're still going through what the unvaccinated are doing, killing themselves. The red states are killing themselves. People are dying like crazy. The unvaccinated dying like crazy. Even your host, your radio host, and all of those that are pushing the crap, they're dying. you know, I hate to say this, you know, but when that radio host died last week, I think it was, the first thing that came to mind to me was sorrow for his family. I felt for his family. But the second thing that came to mind was, at least there's one less personality on air who has the ability to indoctrinate hundreds of thousands of people to act against their own interests. Good day. Feeling okay, not really better. Bruce, how are you doing, sir? Keep me up to date. I spoke to Bruce yesterday, folks, who, it's not a privacy thing because he came on our blog and said yesterday that he even having three vaccines, he still got COVID, but he did have some immunosuppressive issues that, and his wife didn't get it, even though she has it as well. So, Bruce, I think that was educational for us all to continue wearing the masks, to continue getting vaccinated. I think, thank you for sharing your information with us. And Bruce and I had an interesting conversation yesterday. I called Bruce for a long conversation, and I don't think it should be considered private, but what I'm going to want to have some more longer conversations with Bruce on issues of the middle. And I'm going to also want to have Bruce and I have a discussion on the middle on air. So Bruce, I'm throwing this one on you straight up, because I think it is something that we all need to get a grasp of. So we'll do that. The Ducks That Quack says another anti-vaxxer gone. I don't want to make it a happy thing, okay? I want to make it an educational thing, the duck that quacks. You know, I mean, I would be irresponsible if I was happy about the death of somebody, but what I am happy about is that that voice is no longer there to corrupt or indoctrinate those at their peril. Michael Rennie says, from last month, U.S. has already seen more COVID deaths in 2021 than 2020 before the vaccines were available, as experts again warn pandemic is not over. And not only that, the deaths are occurring primarily in the areas that refuse to get vaccinated or that live by this crazy tenet. You know, that one of the reasons that many have been calling the party of death, is you support these policies that kill. That's what you do. Anyhow, I have another video to do, but before I do that other video, please come on to our Zoom call, ask Egberto anything. Sign up, please. I just put the link inside of our chat. You should see it on every one of the platforms. I want to talk to you guys. We got to sit down and talk about it. Let's see what else we have here. Para ver. I want to play this. Oh, it's time for me to go ahead and say, please support Politics Done Right. So, and I guess Bridge MCP wasn't here to remind me. I just got a little remembrance here on the click. So let's go ahead and do that. If you are on YouTube, please go ahead and click join, become a member of our posse. You're really supporting a good cause. And I'm going to play Chuck Todd after I do this ask and show you what the kind of stuff that we are fighting. I'm going to show you that. Here we go. If you want to support us on YouTube, go to politicsdoneright.com/YouTube. If you want to support us on Patreon, go to politicsdoneright.com/Patreon. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. You can support us at PayPal, where we get the biggest bang for the buck. You can support us either one time or have a subscription on PayPal as well, whichever one you choose, one time or subscription, politicsdoneright.com/PayPal. You can get our books. As I See It, Class Warfare, The Only Resort to Right-Wing Doom, politicsonright.com/books. And you can shop at our store to get our hoodies and all of that. It's getting cold. So go from t-shirts to hoodies. Here you go, politicsonright.com/store. politicsonright.com/store. And the all-encompassing link to provide us whatever form of support you think is appropriate, politicsonright.com/support. Okay, let's go ahead and play. I'm going to tell you why. I want to show you exactly what our media does. And listen to what Chuck Todd did here. Because there's a narrative that everybody wants to put out. The narrative is that Democrats are going to have a horrendous 2022. Why? History says the party in power usually loses seats. Well, it didn't occur under Bill Clinton the first time. Obama got walloped, and people think Biden is going to get walloped. I, for one, think if progressive play their cards right, whether Build Back Better gets through or not, if Joe Manchin stalls it, we make sure he pays. But if he allows it through, but not the way it should be, we make sure he pays. But at the same time, we take it. But I think we gain senators. I think we gain most of the governors in the country. In other words, we will go to a majority governorship from the states. I think 2022 is going to be much better than people believe, because I think people are going to start to see what competence really look like. And the noise machine coming from the right, the senseless, senseless noise coming from the right would be attenuated. And I think we are going to get a lot of our good Republicans to join the fold. There are a lot of them already joining the fold. A lot of good Republicans joining the fold. I think we're going to see a lot more joining. Check this out, and then we'll take it on the other side. Let me get that queued up. Here we go. Recently, I've been talking a whole lot about the media misleading. And when you catch it in real time, in other words, we've showed Stephanie Ruhle correcting the media she's a part of. We've saw the president correcting the media where after the fact, where, you know, they're not empty shelves that he's talking about. But when it is done in real time, it is even sweeter. It is sweeter. I want you to see what this pollster, this person, did to Chuck Todd as he tried to spin a false narrative. I want you to listen in detail. The guy was very magnanimous in the way he did it, but he didn't let the false narrative from Chuck Todd go unanswered. Check this out. We'll take it on the other side.
At the beginning of this survey, 21 years ago, George W. Bush won as many young voters as Al Gore. Right.
The overall take I have on this poll is voters under 30 don't look like they have a lot of reasons to show up to the polls right now. Is that what you see?
Actually, thankfully not. They've got more reasons to show up to the polls than ever. And we saw that, as I said, turnout in 2018 for midterm was a record high. And we're tracking, actually, the same number at this stage of this midterm election. So
the depression isn't impacting. You worry about that. The depression could impact the interest in the election, or people just sort of giving up hope. Forget it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it could. But I think that's what previous generations did, Chuck. It was, frankly, the movement around Parkland and that depression and fear that turned into fight and made them stronger. And there was actually a correlation in our 2018 polling. The more depressed you were, the more likely you were to vote in those midterms. So I'm an optimist by journalist, spent so much time around young people, I have to be. Right. I still think that we are on track for a significant turnout. But listen, we can't take it for granted. We cannot take it for granted. Right. We need to find ways to kind of communicate with them.
But this is, to me, the canary in the coal mine here. And that, I think, was the most important point.
Now, you see, the guy came back very well. Oh, no. They actually have a lot more to participate. And that's what they're feeling right now. And by the way, Chuck, you know, back in 2018, the more depressed they were, the more they came to vote, because they know they needed to cure their depression, Chuck. No, Chuck, we are not going to allow you to set the narrative of the corporate structure that fears the millennials, that fears that this big group that understands they've been pilfered for all these years, that understand that the parasites can no longer be parasitic, or we will no longer allow the parasites to be parasitic. No, Chuck, we're not going to allow you to somehow depress them into not voting. In fact, Chuck, the more they're depressed, the more they will come out to vote, because they want the antidote to that depression. You see what I'm saying? Caught in real time trying to change the real narrative, just like they did with the empty shelves, just like they did with the price of gasoline. It's coming down. It's not reported. The shelves are filled. It's not reported. But if they're empty, you blast it all over. But if the gas prices goes up, it's all over. Let's understand the concept. Let's make sure independent media is what we actually work for, folks, because that is what happens when you allow the corporate media's only voice to be the voice. Absolutely. So, I mean, when I saw that, I had to do a double take. In fact, I was talking to my daughter and I'm like, oh, I just got it. She said, Dad, what's wrong? I say, oh, I just got a good clip here, because it was so obvious what Chuck Todd did there. You know, in other words, the guy talked about the millennials and the young people, and then Chuck Todd is ready to attach his narrative. So what that means is anybody under 30 has no incentive to vote. Are you kidding me? And that guy, you could see it in his eyes. No, sir. They have more incentive to vote. They have to make things right. They have to bring more progressives in. They have to bring more people that are going to solve their problems. Not just leave it all. You see, that is, look, the biggest problem that we have in this society right now is trying to get as little amount of people, as fewer people voting, and the people that are vote are passionate about things that don't matter to the vast majority of American citizens. And if we allow that to happen, we get the non-democratic government that we have today. And that's all it is. But, We caught you. But they do this thing over and over again. Eric Hayes, you're really talkative today. Yep, because people like you won't take the vaccines and complain the pandemic still isn't over, is what Michael Rudnin told Eric Hayes. Actually, Eric Hayes had the vaccine. And I'm not telling news. He came on here and told us before. In fact, he told us when he was going to take it here. Let's see. B, we will all pay dearly. There are a lot of people that are going to be done, will be doing well. And of course, you know, Daniel Ledeau had to give a swipe at me. So I'm going to read it so that everybody can hear it. Daniel Ledeau says, there is a silver lining to the massive inflation we're seeing thanks to Brandon. Brandon, he means Biden. It's an offensive word for Biden somehow. We can hope that donations fall off a cliff and Egberto has to get a real job. Let me just say two things. The only time I have worked harder than I work right now was in the initial development of COMMDRV, COMM-DRV, by Willys Computer Software Company. Look it up. It's a serial communication product that's used by Boeing, NASA, and everybody else. I've never worked that hard in my life, averaging 2 hours sleep many times. But second to that is politics done right. And there are reasons why politics done right takes a lot of energy, and that is because you want to do it right. You want to do it right. And I'm trying like hell to do it right, and that's why I listen to everybody when they give advice, when they talk about what we need to hear, etc. Because it has to be done right. We have to empower people. So Daniel, the reality is there are a lot of good people out there, and they're doing support the best they can. Some can't afford to, many can, and many that haven't yet started, I'm pretty sure will start till we get the 2,500 total people that we're looking for. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure we'll get there. I have hope that America still yearns for truth and is willing to support those who give truth as a part of their scum. Okay, let's see. Michael Rim says, George Carlin once said, that's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about. The things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. Bruce, you see, that is similar to what we were talking about yesterday. And by the way, I have a passage of George Carlin in my book As I See It, because George Carlin has a 3-minute skit that's very popular. I actually took the liberty to put that skit in my book because it is powerful when you listen to George Carlin's statement. It's more effective when you watch it, but even reading it, it's very prescient. That's the way of the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the you know what money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. You know, anything different, that's what they're gonna talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national backgrounds, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality. Anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so they can keep going to the bank. You know how I describe the economic and social class in this country? The upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all the work. The poor are just too scared to out of the middle class. Keep them showing up to those jobs. There's a whole lot to that. And that is, for so long we've been so scared of the plutocracy that we accepted this antiseptic slavery. We accepted it. You know, the plutocrat, the people realized enslavement by hue was no longer necessary nor effective. If I had a black person enslaved, I had to clothe them, I had to feed them, I had to make sure they weren't sick, I had to do all those things. Why do that when I can get a human being for free? Just hire somebody. Don't pay them health insurance. Don't pay for their food or anything, right? And you know what? If they get sick, bye-bye. No responsibility whatsoever. That is so much more effective than old-time slavery. So when I talk to people and I say, folks, you know, the vast majority of Americans, I mean, I call it antiseptic because we kind of make it bearable, right? People doing their barbecues on the weekend and all of that, they just don't understand how much they've been parasitically abandoned. They don't. One of the things that I really hope to attain in the long run is for us to actually get the piece of the American pie that is deservedly ours. Ours. When I say ours, I mean all of you that are watching right now. All of you. Peggy Lopez, Squido, Daniel Adoy, 2247, the duck that quacks, Michael Rodnan. Everyone. Eric Hayes. Everyone. Deserve the pie, the part of the American pie they've actually worked. Bruce Pollard, Reddy Temp, all of us should be rewarded with what with our worth. All right, we're coming close to the end of the program. I'm going to put that link to the show again. Let's see. Talking about letter to the editor, Carl, I want to put something up on the screen if I can before I go. Carl Cox sent me an email because I don't know for you guys who the New York Times is a huge newspaper. Not only is it a huge newspaper, but it's hard to get your comments there. So a lot of people get comments on the New York Times and think it is the regular thing. No, it's hard to get a comment on, especially if you're not like a regular person that comments. Well, here it is, one of our own. And I don't know if Carl Cox came in today. But Carl Cox wrote a letter to the editor at the New York Times, and it made it. And he sent me an email and said, check this out, Egberto. So I think for our own posse to realize your notice, and these are the things that we all have to do if we're going to make a change. You come here to Politics and Right, but expand your horizon. Throw things out at New York Times, the conservative rags, all of them. Go out and put your statement, hope that it gets printed. And if it gets printed, drop me a line and show me where it's printed. I'll throw it up on the screen here for you. But I was so proud of Carl Cox. Says, hey, Carl, you did it, brother. You did it. You know, I think we have to all do our part. So congratulations, Carl Cox, on getting your stuff out there. Hey, Michael, take care, bud. Thank you for being here. Peggy Lopez says, public broadcasting used to be balanced news and not slanted towards any particular political persuasion. Mostly just open and honest reporting. Then came the government funding cuts and advertising. I hear you. Write a letter to the editor about Title 42. I agree. But anyhow, folks, please remember to come on and be a part of, and I'm going to try to get that link again. Come on and visit us at, what is it called again? Ask Egberto Anything. I'm going to copy that link again and bring it to the fold. Ask Egberto Anything. I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, what happened there? Ask Egberto anything, because that is what we want. We want to talk to everybody. Let me make sure that I didn't screw up when I put that last one in. Looks like I did just right. Let's see if it goes to the right screen. Yeah, please sign up to Ask Egberto Anything. I want to talk to you guys. And if you're shy on the camera, you don't have to use your camera. You can just come ahead and... And those of you that are listening on podcasts, every first Saturday of the month, it's the Ask Egberto Anything. And you can come on and you can cuss me out if you want. You can do whatever you want. Doesn't really matter. Anyhow, my name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right, and you guys know how I end this baby. I am what? Out. We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.